Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Alexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Alexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I am joined by Maria Emmerich. This is a woman who, when I discovered her as I was doing some research on the ketogenic diet online and on ketosis, I stumbled across her website and, of course, immediately signed up for absolutely every download, her newsletter, followed her on every social media platform there is. And I'm just so impressed and excited that I could convince her to be on our show. I know after you hear this interview, you'll be like I am going, please tell me she's going to come back. Please tell me we'll do even more deep dives on some of these subjects that we brought up. The answer to that is yes. So let me give you just a little bit of background about Maria before we dive into the interview. Maria Emmerich is a wellness expert in nutrition and exercise physiology. She shares a passion for helping others reach their goals of optimal health. She struggled with her weight throughout childhood and decided enough was enough, decided to study health and wellness so she could help others stop wasting their time. Hello, we've all been there. Stop wasting their time being discouraged with their outward appearance and not feeling their best mentally. Maria understands the connection between food and how it makes us all feel on the inside and out. As I mentioned, she's the international best-selling author of the Ketogenic Cookbook. She has, wow, 8 other books, including several cookbooks and 3 nutritional guidebooks, including Secrets to a Healthy Metabolism, which has a foreword by New York Times best-selling author of Wheat Belly, Dr. William Davis. I could go on and on, but I'm excited and anxious for you guys to just dive in and listen to this interview. I know you're going to learn a lot. We talk about healthy fats, coconut oil in particular, some of the myths around coconut oil. We talk about cholesterol and just in general, some information, introductory information and an introduction to the ketogenic diet. So I know you're going to learn a lot. Have your pencil ready and tune in, of course, for future episodes where we bring Maria back. But enjoy this interview and we will see you soon. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Alexa. And today on the show, we are talking about the ketogenic diet and healthy fats and everything you need to know and more. And my guest today is Maria Emmerich, and I hope I pronounced her name correctly. Mm-hmm. Told you a little bit about her in the bio. I am a huge fan of hers. In fact, it's funny, when I saw that she was scheduled on my calendar, I asked my assistant, I don't think I was quite as familiar with her last name, and I said, okay, now let me prep for the show. Who's Maria? And I'm going and I looked at her site. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have been completely stalking her online. I am in love. I think she has the best content out there. She has so much to teach. And when we connected on what we'd be talking about today on the show, I'm like, so many women are going to be excited to listen to this show and learn because she's got a lot of juicy tidbits, again, about healthy fats, about the ketogenic diet. So again, Maria, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you. And I am just going to dive right in to my first question. And that is this. I mentioned in the intro, you know, we're talking about the ketogenic diet. Wow. You have so much. You have a cookbook around this. You've got so much content on your site, which, of course, we'll link to at the end of the show. But there's a lot of people in our Fitfluential community that are just hearing about this. I mean, I get pinged a lot on my social channels when people are like, what are these ketones you're taking? Are you on the Atkins diet? What is this? So why don't you, I think this would be a good place to start. How about, Maria, you just tell our listeners, why don't you give us the lowdown on the ketogenic diet? I'm putting all the pressure on you.
That's all right. That's all right. I get it all the time. Well, our bodies have two different fuel sources. You could be running off of glucose, which the majority of Americans are. That means that you're running off of sugar, carbohydrates. A lot of people mistakenly believe that you need glucose or, you know, you need to run off of carbohydrates for fuel. That's why they carb load when they run marathons and such. Mm-hmm. But there's also another fuel source called ketones, which it's not anything new, but a lot of people don't eat this way because it's not, you know, what we hear from the American Heart Association and stuff. Mm. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what you agree that sugar is inflammatory, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nobody really fights me on that. Sugar is inflammation, and inflammation is the stem of all diseases, including heart disease. But what most people don't understand is that even a complex carbohydrate such as quinoa, rice, sweet potatoes, once those enter your body, they're broken down into sugar. That's what their fate is. They're a carbohydrate. Our body is really quite simple and brilliant. When those complex carbohydrates enter your bloodstream, they're broken down into sugar. So when I say a complex carbohydrate diet and a sugary diet, to me, it's the same thing. Mm. Now, there's only three macronutrients. So we covered carbohydrates. Now we need to cover protein. There's a specific protein amount that you want to reach every day. You don't want to go too high. You don't want to go too low. You want to find that perfect amount for your lean body mass. Now, this is going to be dependent on your amount of lean tissue that you have, and everybody's different. A bodybuilder is going to have a lot more than someone who's very sedentary. So you have to find out what is your lean tissue, and you want to aim for 0.7 to 1 times your lean body mass in protein grams. So if you have 100 grams of lean mass or 100 pounds of lean mass, you'd want to be somewhere in 100 pounds of or 100 grams of protein.
Can I interrupt you? And I it's so silly that I said, can I? And then I just did. I recognize the irony there. Because I always know exactly what both myself, maybe in the past, but also a lot of listeners, so are going to ask. When you're talking about your lean body mass. So how do they find out what their lean body mass is? There's a lot of people out that are like, is that how much I weigh? Or is that something else?
Good question. That is your muscle tissue, how much muscle tissue you have. And so you can do, there's something called bioelectrical impedance, and you'll find those on scales. Those are pretty inaccurate. They just tell you if you're hydrated or not. Mm. You could do a body calipers where they kind of pinch your skin and stuff at the, maybe at the gym. They'll charge you a small fee and find out your, your body fat percentage there. That is a better way to do it. Now, the best way is underwater weighing. I'm lucky enough to live in a town that has a university. They do those a lot at universities. They'd probably charge you a small fee. But that is the most accurate way. But you can kind of average, if you're lifting weights and you weigh 120 pounds, you can kind of average that. Or you could use something like, I have a keto calculator on my website where you could enter your activity level, your body weight, and I could figure that your protein amount for you. And that's at mariamindbodyhealth.com.
Okay.
But then, so you want to find out your protein goal. And then fats. Fat is the last, that is the naughty F word, right? That, that is that third macronutrient that we've been told to be afraid of. But fat is, the ketogenic diet. Now, I want you to understand, if you are a very heavy person, you have a lot of fat on your body that you will utilize for ketones. So you don't have to always be consuming fat to reach your percentage. But that's where I'm going with that one. So carbohydrates, keep extra low, find out your protein goal, and then you want to eat fat depending on your goal for ketosis. Ketosis is not all about weight loss. I have a 6 and 7 year old that eat totally keto, but they're not in it for weight loss. They're mm-hmm. actually on the growth charts, which they were very underweight when we first, my children are adopted from Ethiopia. So they were.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How old are they?
6 and 7.
Huh. That's, are they both boys or girls or one of each?
Oh, both boys. Double trouble. That's for sure.
God bless you. That's all I have to say is God. Well, actually, yeah, my nephew right now is, I think he's 6, and I just feel like compared to all of my my nieces, he's just so mischievous. He's just always, oh yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
Anyway, I digress. Sorry. I'm glad that you brought that up too, because I try to emphasize when I share, because, and I'm doing more research, and a big takeaway we always want to drive home on Fitfluential Radio, on our Fitfluential platforms, is we really want to encourage people, become your own health advocate, do mm-hmm. research. Like, don't just listen to a show and go, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm going to start ketosis and I'm going to go buy product A or product B. That's not it. You know, I really encourage people to do research, to start, you know, going down a path, to give this whatever approach they're going to pursue the long term. This isn't, we don't want to have anybody have it, you know, listen to this podcast and have a takeaway like, this is what I'm going to do for 30 days and everything's going to be better.
Yeah.
This is about life and always just choosing to improve your life. But with ketosis and a ketogenic approach to eating, it is not just about weight loss. It is about health benefits and longevity. And also, and I'm paraphrasing, so I'm not positioning myself as an expert at all. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. But it also, this ketogenic approach, when you're in ketosis and your body is fat adapted, it really is a lot as well about mental clarity and energy. Am I right? Am I saying that correctly?
Absolutely, absolutely. Most people do jump into it blindly and they don't feel well. When you eliminate carbohydrates, you lose a lot of carbohydrates retain water. And so you automatically are going to lose, 5, 10, 15 pounds of water loss. I have someone that I'm working with. She's over 400 pounds. She'll fluctuate 20 pounds, whether she's on the diet or not. That's just her pitting edema. But, along goes a lot of water loss. Now, you can't just drink more water to stay hydrated, because there's nothing to hold on to that water. You're just going to urinate more. So with this diet, you also need more salt. Salt is not the demonized nutrient that, we hear from on the news. We need salt for energy. Salt's going to give you more energy. So if you have eliminated a lot of carbohydrates and you find that you have low energy, or, walking upstairs, you have those heavy legs. Sometimes people get very emotional and cry easy when they, first eliminate carbohydrates. That's it is true though.
But I just cried because I wish I could eat donuts every day.
It is, low electrolytes and dehydration that's causing you to have that
interesting
side effect. So that's why it's helpful to not just jump into it blindly, but know how to do it properly. And it's interesting that you said fat adapted, because you could start tomorrow and be reading ketones, in the next day. However, you are not fat adapted at that point. Ketosis mm-hmm. and being in lipolysis are two different things. If you only give the ketogenic diet a month, you're not in lipolysis. This takes months to achieve, where fat just flies off your body if that's your goal. But that's why I tell people, don't give up within a week or two. It is a transition process. That first week or two is the hardest. People call it the keto flu. I like to call it carbohydrate withdrawal, just like when you're cutting a drug. So it does take a little bit of time.
Well, and that's really should be your attitude. And by you, I mean universal you, right? It should be your attitude that we want to encourage, that I have learned myself personally in dealing with some pretty serious health issues. You've got to give things, stop compartmentalizing fitness and start looking at this as your health and your overall wellness and longevity, and that all things are connected, and look at it as something that is long term. You're not going to, and I'm using air quotes, go keto for 30 days or 60 days and then go off. And you shouldn't be looking at anything I certainly know in my past, I had a problem with giving something 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and then I'd give up. And even, you know, God bless her, I have friends that aren't scared to tell me when I'm being, you know, kind of a moron. And she's like, you don't stick with anything longer than 3 weeks. Stop picking up Oxygen magazine and finding something else. And, you know, oh my God, that's why, because I was having broccoli instead of asparagus. That's why I'm going to start all over. And yeah. Before I start all over, I'm going to have a Burger King, Krispy Kreme, you know, pizza weekend. Right.
So but that's how I was. I mean, I grew up very heavy and I wanted a quick fix, and I love food and I will always love food. And that's why I became so passionate at creating these recipes. When my husband lost his job and we lost our house and cars and everything, I'm grateful now for that time because it taught me to get into the kitchen and cook really good food and, you know, write down these recipes.
That's awesome. Well, you know, this is a really good segue because so just to summarize a couple of the points that you made. I think that's my iPad is talking to me.
Uh-oh. Hi, iPad.
Did you hear this? Sorry, everybody. I need to learn to turn my iPad off because Siri likes to butt in. And that was really awkward. I have to remember that. So sorry about that, Siri. I think when I say the word and I'm whispering like seriously.
Oh, catches.
Yeah. And then I'm going, who's talking? Okay. So anyway.
It's a lesson for all of us.
Just like, she's a special guest on the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, my iPad. Okay, so now the power is off on that, and I will remember whenever I record a podcast. I'm sure my production crew is like, what is wrong with Kelly Alexa? Turn your iPad off.
I love it.
So to summarize what you said, and this is, again, a perfect segue for us to get into the second part, you know, a lot of what you talked about, why you started moving in this direction, why you started researching, you mentioned inflammation, our body can run on glucose or ketones, and come on, people, do your own research, and of course, we want you to go to Maria's website, but we all know whether you decide to pursue looking into a ketogenic approach to eating and ketosis and all of that, we all know that all the processed food and carbs, if you will, in that way that, you know, it's not best for our bodies. And some of us can tolerate, we're all individuals. And that's, again, what we encourage you to do. You got to find out what works for you individually, even when, and we're going to segue into talking about how much fat and healthy fats and all that, but it's going to be different for me. What ends up working for me as far as the amount of food, the types of food, you know, some people can be lactose intolerant or dairy sensitive and they can go out and have ice cream once in a while and it's fine. Other people like me, I can go, if I were to go have ice cream, yeah. I would literally look like I was 9 months pregnant. Yeah. I would have a headache for days and I would feel awful. I would have, you know, post-nasal drip. I mean, food affects everybody differently. You've got to find out what works for you. And it, again, that's about giving things the long-term, but generally speaking, I think everybody that's listening, we all agree cutting the processed food, cutting the crap as an approach to eating and health is better, right? So oh, that said,
yeah, I see a lot of skinny diabetics all the time. I work with them all the time. You know, it's funny how we're a vain society. We usually don't change anything until we're overweight, right? Or, you sure. know, feel really uncomfortable in our skin. I have a type 1 diabetic we work with, you know, talk to every week because she wishes she would gain weight when she cheated. She's 28, having strokes, just had her first baby, and that's why she's changing her life. Her A1C is over 11, which that tells us how much inflammation we have on. You never want to be over 5, but she's having strokes, and she says she can cheat all the time and never gains a pound. She wishes she would because it would keep her on the keto diet, you know?
Yeah, and that's very true. I do know that we get a lot of people that write in to FitFluential wanting us to kind of point them in the right direction because they'll go, I went to the doctor, my cholesterol is this. My doctor tells me I've got to lose 40 pounds or this. They get an alert and they freak out. So it's reactive instead of being proactive. Hopefully, you know, we can be a small part of providing ongoing education that gets people motivated to do things before they get to that red alert phase. So yeah, you know, everybody kind of, I think, has that vibe. And I think people probably, you talked a lot about what's out there in the media. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of, we've talked about that on the show before. You've got to pay attention to, you know, who's funding the research that, you know, is being circulated and, you know, things like the food pyramid that we've heard about.
Yeah,
might want to rethink that. So we all have this understanding, sugar's bad, sugary foods, carbs, all of that. Not great for us, right? So if you're going to be moving into whether it's a ketogenic diet specifically, or just maybe more, maybe you start going more paleo, if you will, and then you're moving into a ketogenic approach. This topic of healthy fats is going to come up, and it is a hugely still misunderstood concept, especially I'm going to say for women. Men tend to be, I think, in my experience, more comfortable with the idea of eating healthy fats. But in general, there's just an overall like hesitation to have fat at all. So my questions are, and I'm going to let you kind of guide the conversation here. Number one, you know, what do you tell people that are starting and they're used to, I've got to have my diet 20% fat or less. How do you get over this concept of being scared of fats and getting to the point, I had this conversation with my parents. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm allowed to have fat. I'm allowed to have real butter. I'm allowed to have coconut oil. Like how much and how do you determine how much? I mean, I know you said that's based on your macros, but what do you do when you first are talking with clients and they're so scared to have fat on anything? How do you address that?
Well, I first tell them that fat is the only macronutrient that is really great at controlling your blood sugar where it doesn't increase with that. So, you know, carbohydrates, you know, you eat a lot of bread, rice, whatever it is, your blood sugar is going to go up no matter who you are. And what goes up must come down. And when it comes down, that's when hunger happens. And that's why people are very satiated on, you know, a ketogenic diet. So fat is something that you want to eat to satiety. Now, most people misunderstand and think they need to eat 80% fat with their macros. If you are very overweight and you want to lose weight, you need to understand part of that 80% is going to be fueled from your own body fat. You will make ketones from the energy you have stored on your body. If you keep fueling yourself with fat, there's no reason to actually use your body fat to make ketones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to understand this a little better because, you know, and we'll maybe discuss this on a separate show because I don't want to pull. But the reason I'm saying is I've been working. So I have major hypothyroid issues. And all last year, you know, I was really kind of guided in the wrong direction by somebody who thought that they could help me with that. And then finally, I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I need to see a new doctor down here. I need to only listen to my doctor. And he's actually going to be on the show, Dr. Lane Sebring. And he's really helped me do kind of some temporary steps that involved ketosis and actually worked to get my body back into fat burning mode. Because I got to tell you, Maria, like I was to the point where I could not, I had gotten so thick around my middle, nothing made my body drop fat. And so it still is a little confusing to me, but I remember when I was in his office and this is why I told him like, we have to record this. We have to address this on the show, especially for him, you know, from a doctor's perspective to say, how did we do this with Kelly? How was she in ketosis? But I think what we were doing for this first phase is my body was using its own fat. So even though I was on a lower fat plan, different than I was eating, my body finally shifted and was using, and then we tested my blood and I was in ketosis. And I thought, and I said to him exactly what you referenced earlier. I go, how am I in ketosis on this plan with you when I'm not eating 80% fat? I thought you had to eat 80% or 75% fat. That's not true at all. So even though, yeah, I'm still a little confused on understanding it all. I know I will understand it more as I go along, but yeah, it works.
It's called the fat flux. And it's a whole science based, you know, we watch how the molecules move around in our body. But there's a lot of bad information when you search a ketogenic diet. So just be careful who you are listening to.
Exactly.
But I do want to say, So if keto is not for weight loss, and it's for maybe balancing your hormones out. So you agree, we'll start out this way. This will resonate with a lot of women. You agree that breast milk is the best thing for a baby to consume first thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you know that breast milk is primarily made up of cholesterol and saturated fats?
No.
It is. And the reason why, God did not have an agenda when he created all of this, saturated fat for a baby to consume. He did not want the baby to die of heart disease. They are forming their gonads. They are forming their thyroid hormone. They are building bones. All of these things are made from cholesterol and saturated fat. So if someone has a thyroid disorder, if someone has low estrogen, low progesterone, or estrogen dominance, cholesterol makes healthy hormones. This is why when a woman goes through perimenopause, her cholesterol is going to go through the roof. And to an ignorant doctor, it's going to look like she needs a statin drug. But to someone like me, we look at, okay, let's check out her progesterone numbers, and it's plummeting. What happens is the ovaries are no longer spitting out estrogen or progesterone like they once did. Cholesterol is screaming at the top of its lungs trying to get those ovaries to work. They're not going to listen, so cholesterol will stay elevated. Is this a bad thing? No, it is not. People with the lowest cholesterol have the leading cause. They most likely have depression. And that's because if you have low cholesterol, a lot of times your thyroid doesn't work properly. That would cause depression, a lot of things like that. But I talked about baby's bones, which are forming. If you look at the sheath of our bones, they're primarily made up of fat, and not just any fat. This isn't olive oil. This is saturated fat that they're made up of. So when people cut out saturated fat because they're afraid of red meat and egg yolks and coconut oil, and if you can handle dairy, you're afraid of butter, all of that type of stuff, most likely you're going to come to someone like me and you're going to have osteopenia or osteoporosis.
God, all of this is so fascinating. And I will say, for people that are listening, I've come so far in being able to better understand this. And again, sometimes I know it can sound intimidating when you start hearing things and you haven't gone down the path of getting your own blood work done, and you don't, especially if you're a woman, if you haven't been able to see your own blood work and understand, Maria, you mentioned A1C earlier. We talked about TSH and thyroid and all that. It's very complex. And I remember the first doctor I saw out in Phoenix, he said, men, when we need to fix men and their hormones, it's pretty simple. We adjust their testosterone. They're easy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, women, you guys are like conducting an orchestra, it's like the complex choreography and all these things have to work together. But the more you, again, do research, it'll start to make sense. So you'll start to understand this cholesterol issue. And the more that you, I guess, just take in as far as information, it'll start to sink in. It'll start to make sense. I mean, think about this. If we're talking about developmental things that are happening when we're just tiny babies, and everybody knows, I've never thought about it like that. What a great illustration, Maria, to say, this is what comes through in breast milk, and this is what everybody can agree is best. This is what we should be looking at. And cholesterol is an issue that comes up all the time. I had a high reading on my blood work with cholesterol, and I remember discussing it with Dr. Sebring. And he's like, no, that's not an issue. Let's keep an eye on it. But here's probably what it is. And yeah, you're right. It ended up being just fine. So again, everybody listening, don't get overwhelmed by this if it's the first time you're hearing it. Just on a side note, we should link this up in the show because I'm sure, Maria, you would recommend this. And when you work with clients, we have a lot of people asking us, so I'm guessing I should get my blood work done, right? And it's not as common for people to be getting, having their primary doctor recommend blood work. But blood work to me is something everybody should be getting on a regular basis. And by blood work, that doesn't mean you go to your primary and say, can I have some blood work done? And they'll go, sure. Usually you're not going to get the type of blood work done there. You need a comprehensive blood work panel done. We've partnered with a couple companies so that we can you know, just point out to where these blood work packages are available, and they're all over the country. But is that something that you recommend as well, is good when people are starting to go down a path to better health and before they make changes to get blood work? Do you insist on blood work when people are coming to you, or is that something that's more like icing on the paleo cake?
Well, it certainly does not have to get done it is expensive. A lot of people don't like to go to the doctor. They don't feel comfortable going there. However, if something's not working, then we go there. But, you know, ideally, yeah, you would get blood work done, but not cholesterol. That's ridiculous. I would, you know, a calcium score, A1C, there's, you know, your ferritin, all these different tests that I do recommend, and then we can heal faster. You definitely can heal faster when you know what the problem is. But there's a lot of body signs that happen by that I, you know, can often figure out, like, you know, do you have X, Y, or Z? You know, there's a lot of our bodies, they tell us a lot of things. We just don't listen. So, you know, there's different things that you can look for. But I did want to say that, like, cholesterol is so important to the human body that and our bodies are brilliant. There is a backup plan. If you don't eat cholesterol, your liver's going to make it. And you know what happens time after time? If you stop eating cholesterol and your liver's constantly making it for you to produce these healthy hormones, you end up with a tired and toxic liver. And what's interesting is you talked about thyroid. Your T4 is converted into the activated T3 hormone in your liver, not in the thyroid. And so if you are making your liver go into overdrive mode and very tired and toxic, you know, it just can't keep up after a while. And that's when our bodies start to fail. Cholesterol is not the demonized nutrient. It's like the firefighter that tries to help out your body.
Amen. Yeah, we should actually think about doing, in all seriousness, that could be a different show, just on cholesterol.
For sure.
We'll follow up on that. I need to make sure I've got like two other things I want to talk to you about, and I need to respect your time. So I wanted to ask you, you know, we're talking about healthy fats, and coconut oil is obviously all the rage, right? Everybody's been talking about it. It's funny because I started using coconut oil when I first started kind of moving into a paleo diet a couple years ago. And I don't know how I ended up putting it in my coffee. It was before I kind of started making my own version of Bulletproof before I was putting, you know, clarified butter or ghee in it. That's what I started with because I was cutting dairy, like really cutting dairy. And it really helped me. It helped my skin. It helped my, just feeling better. But there's so many myths about coconut oil out there. And I know that you are pretty passionate about sharing, you know, or debunking some of these myths. So what would you say are some of the top myths about coconut oil that you could debunk for us before we wrap up?
Well, it was all in the news. And the reason is because they believe a lot of it was funded by the American Heart Association, the study that you'll see all over the news saying coconut oil is bad. And what's that?
No, I'm just chuckling.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Laughing. Well, what happens is, you know, they blame that, you know, it's an increase in LDL particles. And what happens is an LDL particle, usually the small dense ones, they get lodged in a lesion caused by inflammation in the arterial wall. And we talked about what causes lesions, right? Mm. What causes inflammation is causing lesions. Yep. And what causes inflammation?
Sugar.
Sugar and carbohydrates. So if you don't eat sugar or carbohydrates, you're not going to have any lesions. Your calcium score will go down to zero. I see it time and time again. It's not when you cut saturated fat that's cutting heart disease.
There's a whole lot of myths around heart disease. And the more that you learn, you know, like there's everything that's been put out there in the media, you know, broadscape media. And so much of it, if you follow some of the trails and you know, who's at risk of getting hurt if people don't buy into this, you know, you can kind of figure it out for yourself. But when you look at the data that backs this up, you realize that, yeah, that's not true. And if you just look at some of the correlations in how our diet has changed the United States, you know, we cut fat, we increase carbs. I think that was probably starting back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And the resurgence or the increase in certain diseases with that diet, that massive, you know, broad scale diet change in our country, it's pretty amazing. And then you look at other countries. You know, this is just my personal assessment. Other countries that, you know, they've always talked about the Mediterranean diet. That's high in you know, healthier fats. So open your mind to, you know, healthier fats and do the research. And also understand that what we're not talking about on the show is unlimited. We're not saying like eat a jar of coconut oil every day.
No.
We're not saying put 200 avocados. That is another one of the things that drives me crazy.
Yes,
about
me too.
Some of these air quote diets that go out there. They're like, guess what? You can do this and you can eat all of this. You
no.
shouldn't be looking to try to eat as much food as you possibly can.
No,
you should be able to enjoy food.
That's not
and yeah, enjoy your life. You shouldn't be a glutton in any area.
No.
So yeah. People, pay attention, and coconut oil is your friend. Coconut oil.
All these natural fats that we're demonizing that were naturally put on earth. I mean, seed oils like canola, I mean, that is not healthy. No matter what the TV, radio say, I just listened to the radio the other day and they talked about how heart healthy canola oil is. If you watch how it's made, it is not healthy. It is not natural. And then we demonize something like lard, which is something that our ancestors had for years. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, I didn't mean to ask you this, but you brought it up because canola oil, I remember I was kind of surprised as I started shopping and I saw this both, you know, this is not to say these are bad companies, but both at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, I'm buying certain foods. Like I would buy plantain chips all the time, canola oil. I'm looking at this paleo mayonnaise, canola oil. I mean, canola oil is everywhere. And I remember a certain, well, actually several people were like, oh, you can't have it. And I remember thinking, for crying out loud, it's at Whole Foods. It can't be bad. But it's,
yeah.
I mean, does that surprise you? I mean, it seems like some of these organizations seem to be like, we do everything organic and it's awesome. And then there's organic expelled coconut or excuse me, canola oil. And so you feel like it's good because it's organic, but you're saying it's really not.
Oh no, it's like an oxymoron, like organic chips. I'm sorry. That's a lose-lose situation. I think I know that people are afraid to promote saturated fat because doctors are afraid to use it. Companies are afraid to use it because they automatically think they're going to lose customers. They still think that it's bad. The dogma of, you know, saturated fat, that it scares people. But what's really interesting, when you look at all the nutrients, people think that kale or blueberries are these super healthy foods. When you look at the nutrient charts, beef and beef liver blow it off of the charts time after time. If you lift off of beef and beef liver, but nobody wants to recommend that because it's a, you know, people think that it's such an unhealthy food and it's frustrating.
I can completely relate to the passion that's in your voice because it is, sometimes it's, and that's what's hard is when you start down a fitness journey and you learn so much, you really want the best for other people.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's really hard for me when I try to have these conversations with my parents and I see them still using margarine. And, you know, yeah, it just kills me. But it's also, I have to put myself in their shoes and see, like, they haven't gone down this path of educating themselves. And for me, you know, also their generation is the generation that they've come through certain wars and you know, floods. Like my dad, you know, lived in Pennsylvania. They had a flood where everything was wiped out. So they're all about, you know, not wasting. And to them, the idea of cleaning out your refrigerator and throwing all this bad stuff out and buying all organic, like their financial brain can't wrap around it. That's a whole other podcast episode we should talk about. And then another one, because I realize I have a meeting. I'm hitting up a wall on your time, but I do want to, you know, have you back because I think we could do a show on, you know, getting really a little bit more specific about, you know, the ketogenic diet. And one of the things you and I talked about discussing, we'll do it on that show, is the common mistakes people make when they start down that ketogenic road, because there's really not a lot of information out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had you on the show. You're an expert. Leanne Vogel was an excellent interview. I think she has a remarkable book out as well. But there's really just not a lot. Like, you are two of the few amazingly talented women that I think can speak with, you know, expertise on this. So I will stalk you after the show to have you back on. But why don't you do this, Maria? Tell people that are listening before we get you back on the show, where can they find you and start becoming addicted to your content like I am?
Well, thank you. I have a blog at mariamindbodyhealth.com where there's thousands of free recipes and information there. A lot of giveaways that I do every month. I'm also at Keto Adapted on Facebook. Or I'm Maria Emmerich on Instagram.
Awesome. And trust me, when you'll be just like me when you stumble on all of her stuff. You'll be like a kid in a ketogenic candy shop. You'll be like, oh, all the things.
You're so
and I do. I'm so grateful that, you know, that's part of selfishly why I founded Fitfluential, was to bring all these amazing people. I never have to think of a recipe my whole life because I just go, oh, let me ask these people what they'd create. And it's amazing. So I wanted to thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you on the show. Such a pleasure to get this conversation started. Definitely something we should explore. I'll follow up with you after the show to see if we can schedule, you know, some more specialized interviews with you if your schedule permits. Oh. And for everybody listening, if you have any particular questions, again, we might be convincing Maria to do maybe a Twitter chat with us or maybe a Facebook Live interview. So if you have questions that you'd like to ask her after looking at her site and so on and so forth, make sure you let us know. You can write to us over at fitfluentialradio.com where you'll see the show notes and so on. But in the meantime, thank you so much for tuning in today, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.